It's time for Windows Weekly, and we have a very special show live from New York in the Microsoft Store. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 444, recorded Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. May the fours be with you. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Igloo Software. Igloo is an intranet you'll actually like. Use blogs, calendars, file sharing, forums, task management, and wikis to work better together with your teams. Sign up now and try it for free at igloosoftware.com/twit. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. And by the Ring video doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping in time for the holidays when you go to ring.com/WW. It's time for Windows Weekly, a show where we talk about the latest from Microsoft, and this time we're doing it from the Microsoft World Headquarters in beautiful Manhattan, Kansas. I think I've got my notes wrong here. It is Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and you're in the Microsoft store in Manhattan.
Yep.
Welcome.
We are. Yes.
This is exciting.
It is.
And let me pull back for those of you watching on video, because this looks like the Today Show. I mean, I see cars going by, and this is awesome.
It's too bad we weren't on the first floor. People could be holding up signs for someone's birthday or whatever.
Mary Jo's going to give us a tour of the Microsoft store. You said there's five stories?
There are.
Wow.
There are five. But we can only go to three of the five as non-employees.
What are floors 4 and 5 Satya Nadella's secret lair?
Yep. How did you know?
I know.
Dr. Knows Island.
Dr. Knows Island. Hey, it's so fun to have you guys. And Paul, congratulations on your Amtrak adventures.
Oh, man.
I handled it with my usual grace.
Aplomb. This is the flagship retail store. This just opened, right? Ended last month.
Right. Yep.
Or I guess end of October, I guess. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Brand new. In fact, Paul said he walked right by it, didn't you?
It's very discreet.
It looks like it's on Fifth Avenue. Are you on Fifth Avenue there?
Yes.
We are. We're just a couple blocks away from the Apple Cube on Fifth Avenue.
Neat. Yeah, we all saw
the statue with the globe, the guy, you know, the whatever that is.
Rockefeller Center.
That thing.
Oh, perhaps. We could go skating a little bit later on. That'd be a lot of fun.
They could tell me what that is.
Mary Jo sent me a tour of the store. Do you want to do that now? When do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's.
Why not?
I mean, we're here.
Let's watch her Katie Couric moment.
This is fun. This is going to be exciting.
Hi, everybody. I'm here to show you my local Microsoft store. Yes, this is my local. I walked here today, and I'm going to give you a quick tour of the store before we do Windows Weekly Live from here. So come on in.
And we know it's in New York because of the sirens.
Yep.
And the strange man following you with a selfie stick.
Hello.
This is the Microsoft store.
Thank you very much. So this is the new flagship store here at Microsoft on Fifth Avenue. And they've got some really cool things in here. I've already been here a few times, so I'm going to just show you what I like here. Check this out right when you walk in. Some really nice Surface books here that you can play with and use the pen. Check it out. Very interesting. Then I also like to check out over here some of the other Surface Book demos. They've got some really great Windows Phone Continuum demo over here, where you can check out the 950, the 950 XL, and other Windows phones. And the center here is a part of the store I don't frequent myself, but I know others do.
Uh-oh.
We have some really cool Xbox stuff here, which I know Mr. Thorat would be very into. We've got the controllers and some of the games. So there's a lot of things for the Xbox fans here in the store.
This is why Paul was late. That's the real truth.
Right.
What I really like here, and one of the main reasons I wanted Microsoft to have a store in New York, so you can check out non-Microsoft laptops, too. It's hard in New York City, believe it or not, to find a place where you can look at laptops from other vendors side by side and do some comparisons. So that's one of the things I like a lot here. They have HPs, they have Toshibas, they have all kinds of different laptops you can play around with. Some 2-in-1s, all kinds of stuff like that that you can check out yourself. Now, check this part. There is a HoloLens in here. You can't actually use it.
Oh.
But it's here. It's in a glass case.
Ooh. And that's so funny.
You can check it out. You can look at it from all angles. It's probably pretty close to what the final will be for developers when it's available in the first quarter next year. But you can't, unfortunately, I've tried to get in there. You can't. Now let's go upstairs. There's some more stuff up there.
Who shot this? Do you know?
Who shot it? Andrew did the camera work.
Very nice.
The top.
And you had a lighting man and everything for this.
Yes, Chris did our lighting.
Looks awesome.
As Mary Jo does when she walks around New York City.
All right, here you go. Here's a part two of our exciting tour of the Microsoft Store.
Made it to the top of the second floor. There are five floors in here. We're on two. Check it out. This is, there's some really cool large screen displays up here. You can look down and see the store. That's the retail level down on the first floor. Now we're entering Xbox land.
Hooray!
There's a lot of Xbox land. There's towers of them. There's controllers galore. If I only played Xbox, I would be very excited.
Weren't you even tempted, Mary Jo, to just pick one up while you were there? Look how nice those
are.
Not at all.
Down here we've got the Minecraft
Mountain
area. I can tell you, my nephew, when he comes to visit the store, he's going to be living right here. A tower of everything Minecraft. Every accessory.
There's Steve.
There's a big full-screen Minecraft display where people can come and play Minecraft when this isn't here. And this is where we're going to do our podcast today, right here.
Oh, neat. You're right next
to
that.
Tables here.
Yep.
But there's more.
But wait. Is this a...
This.
It is.
You've heard us talk about on Windows Weekly. Ooh, this is the Surface Hub. Really large screen, multi-touch display.
Ooh.
It's like a video conferencing system on steroids. You can use multiple pens, all kinds of different touch effects. And you can have meetings where you're broadcasting to and from other people in your company.
It's like the monolith in 2001.
It is.
What else?
Give me a bone, I'll throw it.
Yep. I'll hail the monolith.
There's a Skype translator in here, I believe.
Look at all this.
Is this still the Skype
I could see a kid just going crazy just with that Minecraft mountain.
Is Skype translator sometimes here?
Sometimes, yes.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I guess it's not here today. So maybe get rid of that part.
Okay, we'll edit that out.
I think that's everything on this floor. So, yeah, this is just two of the five floors. There's a Dell floor upstairs on the third, and then some other office space, 4 and 5. But how cool is this? This is the new Microsoft flagship. So check it out when you're here in New York.
Very cool. Thank you, Mary Jo Foley, and her Katie Couric moment. A tour of the Microsoft Store. Well done.
I think we found Mary Jo's post-ZD career.
I think so.
I think so.
Thanks to Andrew Zarian for shooting that. And we want to also thank the manager at the store for letting us in there. It was very very kind.
Is he here? This is you.
Yes, he is here.
On over, Bill.
Bill Madden. They named the football game after him, I think, right?
Right. This is Bill Madden 2016.
Bill, thank you for letting us disrupt your store today. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Thank you for hosting here. We're glad to have you.
It's nice to have you. I think you're on Skype 3, so let me turn up Skype 3, and now we'll hear you.
We'll get it eventually.
All right.
So how long was the store in preparation before opening day?
Well, I think, you know, Microsoft, I think we always wanted to have a store on Fifth Avenue. It was a matter of getting the right place at the right time with the lineup of the products that we have right now. I think this is the right time to open a store on Fifth Avenue. So the store has always been something that Microsoft wanted to have on Fifth Avenue. It was finding the right location. And now we have it.
It's the old, for old time Manhattan or Manhattanites, it's the old Fendi store. Yes.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like you guys really, but come on, tell us the truth. What's upstairs?
There's mostly upstairs is a lot of offices, it's where we do a lot of the tech work and things like that. So
are there other Microsoft divisions in the store, or is it just all retail?
No, but strictly retail here in this location.
That's cool. That's really great.
Retail and podcast space.
It's a great podcast space. You guys should really consider that.
Yeah, I'm curious how business has been since you guys opened. I mean, do you have any stats you can share with us or anything you can talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the store has been rocking since we opened, especially going right into holiday. I think it's been exciting to see how many customers are excited to come in, get their hands on the product. And the great thing about having a flagship location here in New York City is you get customers from all over the world who've never even seen or set foot in a Microsoft store. So while we do have, we just opened our store in Sydney, so that's getting us a more of an international presence. But we're seeing customers from Europe, Asia. They've never been in a Microsoft store and never gotten to touch our product in that way. So we've been really thrilled with traffic. We've been thrilled with the response that customers are giving us about the product. And it's exciting to hear people from all over the world say, when do we get a Microsoft store in our country? So that's sort of an exciting thing to hear.
Is this your flagship store?
This is, yes. Our flagship store here in the U.S. We also have a flagship, like I said, we just opened in Sydney as well.
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't want to
give
that. By
the way, Boston's not very happy about that.
Yeah.
What's been selling best? Can you share that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously people are coming to the Microsoft store looking at our first-party products. They're excited about Book. They're excited about Pro 4. Still a lot of energy around Pro 3 even. We've had some amazing deals on that through holiday. Surface 3 is still popular. I know in your video tour you gave a little bit of a sneak peek of the Surface Hub. We've seen an amazing response on people coming in, getting to touch and play with the Hub here. We've got both the 84-inch and the 55, so customers can come in, actually experience, use it, see how they can use it. They can't see that in any other Microsoft store other than Sydney or here in New York, so that's exciting as well. But, you know, but Dell obviously has brought a lot of interesting customers in on floor 3 as well. So you know, the great thing about Microsoft is you can experience all different kinds of technology here. And it's not limited to one thing, but, I mean, we're just excited to hear what customers are saying about getting hands-on with it.
Yep. Thanks.
I've literally spent 5 minutes in the store, but I promise I will look around.
Right.
I love that. Do you get kids come in here and run upstairs to the Minecraft display and just kind of go, ooh, and on? I'll take a foam pickaxe, please. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Minecraft's cool. Super popular with the kids. Actually, last week we had Hour of Code was going on all last week, had over 1,000 kids come through the store from New York City Education and do Hour of Code, which was amazing. We also went out into the school systems here and did that. And Minecraft's been a huge piece of that. So it's really helped us connect with, you know, what Hour of Code is and how to get kids excited with it. And we've been thrilled with the response. So we are the destination for Minecraft in New York City for sure.
Do you have classroom space here too and training space, that kind of thing?
So we do. We're actually sitting in what is somewhat of our classroom training space or podcast space, as we can call it now. But we also do have some other space throughout the building where we can host events. We have a small space downstairs where we can host people around Hub. We have a conference, like a business conference room where we can host people as well. The Dell floor obviously allows us to host a lot of things as well. So that's, we have a lot of great space for people.
Yeah, I think this is a good time for Microsoft to have a store because you have a lot of hardware that you're selling. The chance to see the Hub in action, I think, is really exciting because I would want to see one before I spend a lot of money on something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the big one?
The 84 inches downstairs.
Oh, nice. I want to play with that one. That's awesome. And do you have some 950s in there?
We do 950 and 950 XL. Ooh. Been thrilled with the response on that as well. So,
ooh, would you pick one of those up for me, Paul? When you nice.
Merry Christmas, Leo.
Yeah. How big is the staff? How many people do you have there?
So we've got over 160 employees, which is amazing. Yeah, and they speak 19 languages between the entire staff. So, I mean, we can really kind of cater to everybody that we're seeing come through here in New York City. So.
Okay, one last question. Were those people in the commercial really staff members singing?
Yeah, everybody that's a great question. Everybody that was in the commercial was a Microsoft Store employee.
You're kidding, because they sounded great. Not the little kids. The little kids weren't, obviously. But the adults in the Microsoft shirts, they were all employees.
Yeah, they were. Wow. We hired some really talented people here.
That's very impressive. I was sure those guys, they brought in ringers. They brought in a choir because they sounded fantastic. And were you around for the filming of that?
I was, yeah. It was an amazing opportunity to see that filmed here. So we've had lots of people come in, talk about seeing the commercial, which is exciting as well. Come in yelling, "We love your commercial." So we love having that as well.
Yeah. Well, I love it too. And bringing peace on earth is a great thing.
Yep.
Bill,
absolutely.
Thank you for letting us take over your store a little bit.
I know. Thanks.
Yeah. Earl, thanks a lot. Take care. Nice.
Thank you. Bill Madden is the general manager of the Microsoft flagship store. Yeah, in New York City. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are there. And we've got, you know, we've got news, including, and Paul, I'll give you a chance to install this while we take a break. The Redstone release for those of you on the fast ring. I just checked, and I am on the slow ring, so I didn't get it yet. But there is a new version of Windows being pushed out to the team. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Right now, though, I have a very appropriate advertiser, Igloo Software. It's a little chilly right now. Actually, it's pretty warm in New York City, but here in Petaluma, we had a freeze overnight. Nothing chilly about Igloo Software. It is an intranet that you'll actually enjoy using. And I want you to go to igloosoftware.com/twit to take a look at Igloo Software. If anyone's worked in a big company knows that the corporate intranet, is a really valuable way to communicate with employees, for employees to share files, to collaborate on documents. But this goes so much farther. It's got all of that, but all the great social stuff. You have blog updates. You can use it to coordinate calendars. It's got project management built into it. You've got comments, like buttons everywhere. Anyone can add content. Of course, you control it with complete permissions set up, with drag-and-drop widgets, a WYSIWYG editor, responsive design. It's not your father's intranet. This is a state-of-the-art modern intranet using the latest web technologies. And it works everywhere, not just on your desktop, but on the go as well, because it is responsive. There are a variety of authentication, access, and identity services to make sure that exactly the right users have access in the private cloud or over SSL, of course, 256-bit encryption. Whether you're a giant enterprise and you currently are using SharePoint, or a fast-growing business overwhelmed by the tools and platforms you're going to love, the intranet will match your brand's look and feel, simplify how you work. People will be so impressed. And it's accessible on any device. And by the way, I like Igloo because they don't nickel and dime you. You get the entire suite of tools with one low price. As low as $3 per user per month. Volume pricing is available. Government agencies use Igloo. Hulu uses Igloo. Inventive Health, American Family Insurance, big companies and small. You know what I like? If you're a small and growing enterprise, you can sign up for Igloo Software free, igloosoftware.com/twit, and continue to use it for up to 10 people forever free. I like that. Great way to get started. Really get your feet wet with Igloo. Igloo, I-G-L-O-O, software.com/twit. It's a better intranet, an intranet you'll actually like. And I mean like buttons and all of that. Igloosoftware.com/twit. We return you now to the island of Manhattan, where Paul and Mary Jo have just traded a necklace of beads for a new Xbox One. It's very exciting.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a bad joke. I apologize. So did you get 1182, Paul? Are you downloading it right now?
I've only heard rumors of this build, Leo. I'm not even sure it's real.
Why do they? Oh, they somehow know when you get on a plane or a train. Now, quick, pull the trigger. Update it.
Yep. It must be a good build, but my train broke down.
Yeah. That was weird. What happened there? That you ran out of power?
it was going to be late, and then all of a sudden it just stopped, and they said, he has no power. It's really funny. We don't know why.
Oh, man.
And then they tried to fix it, and they couldn't, and so they backed up to the previous station, and we got on a Metro West train. And
they actually transferred you off the train.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow.
So I was going to be here about an hour and 20 minutes early, and I got here about 5-10 minutes late, I guess.
You made it.
No, I got here just minutes before you. I was going to tell them not to tell you that so that you'd
What was your transportation disaster story, Leo?
I have no disaster story. I just stopped for a family of baby ducks crossing the road.
Nice. Aww.
You know how that is. You just
I had to get by Saks Fifth Avenue or whatever that was, which was basically a bunch of baby ducks walking around.
Now, Mary Jo is, she lives in Manhattan, so this is no big deal. But, Paul, are you going to go down to Macy's and look at those store windows and nothing like that, huh? You're such a Grinch.
No. No. No, my house is a Christmas miracle. I don't need to see it here.
We do have people in the chat room who've installed the newest one. So I'll as it comes over the ticker, I will read to you any updates on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But let's talk about OneDrive because Microsoft kind of backed down. They updated. They've done a lot. What's going on?
Yeah. So just today, while you were all here assembling in the audience for Windows Weekly, Microsoft announced what they're doing around OneDrive for business storage. They just put a blog post out about this. And so we were all wondering, were you guys who have OneDrive for business going to get unlimited storage? And the answer is some of you are going to get it. Not all of you. So Microsoft has a very lengthy explanation on the Office blog site about this. But the gist of it is, if you have an Office 365 plan and you're in E3, E4, or E5, you're going to get unlimited storage.
That's government, EDU...
Right.
Enterprise.
And Enterprise. Right.
Yep.
Also, if you have OneDrive for Business Plan 2 and SharePoint Online Plan 2, you also get unlimited storage. Here's the catch. You have to ask for it.
You have to ask for it.
You have to know to ask for it. So Microsoft's going to first take you from 1 terabyte to 5 terabytes. That will just happen automatically. Then, if you want more than 5, you have to ask Microsoft Customer Support. And they'll give it to you, but you have to ask them.
Oh, that's wild.
And if you don't ask them, they're not going to give it to you.
That seems kind of unfair.
I also wonder if they're not going to look at what you're actually using and say, yeah, it doesn't seem like you really need it.
We can see you've stored your entire collection of James Bond movies.
Of DVD rips.
Yeah.
And,
sure. Right.
I'm going to be curious to see how that one goes.
I am too. Yeah.
I think the thing we need to highlight is that for people who are on, I forget what they're called now, but I think it's Business Essentials and Business Premium, which is the former small and medium business server versions. Yeah. Those folks are not getting additional storage. It's going to be 1 terabyte.
I'm a little puzzled because I, I'm an Office 365 consumer user, and I see still on my OneDrive 10.1 terabytes.
Yeah, they're not going to remove that for about a year, I think is what they said.
Okay, yeah. But I couldn't store stuff up to that amount.
I think you could now.
I could continue to. I get it. So the reduction hasn't kicked in yet.
I'm not going to say it's a tip to do that. That would be a mistake. but I think you could.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good to know.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing that happened today is if you've been waiting for that integrated next generation sync client for OneDrive, it's out today. It's out for Windows users today. The next generation sync client. Sorry. Right. That is out today for Windows users. It's going to come later this month if you're a Mac user. You're going to get that.
Okay. It says, we're in the process of delivering a new sync client.
Right.
Yeah. But there is a preview, it looks like, on the
Mac. Well, so actually, I believe it's a preview for Mac, yeah. So here's the weird bit, though, right? If you can get it on Windows 7, you can get it on Windows 8, you can get it on Windows 10, but if you have Windows 8.1, you can't get it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have a pre-installed version, but it won't be upgraded.
Q1. For now. I'm sorry. I should say for now.
Till Q1. Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Now, it's funny. That says OneDrive is pre-installed. Is this...
This is OneDrive for Windows, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, but not OneDrive for Business. I got you. Okay.
But so 7 and 8 OneDrive is pre-installed. OneDrive for Business 7, 8, and 10, we're in the process of it's the same copy. We're in the process of delivering a new sync client, but you can get started with the preview today.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Mary Jo is literally posting as we're sitting here. So,
okay.
No, I already posted.
Would you like a moment, Mary Jo? Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I was just looking at my OneNote. No, I was not. Okay. The other thing, everybody's asking about placeholders, right? When is Microsoft going to do the replacement for placeholders? How's that coming along? And the answer is no comment still. Could you get them to comment? No. Okay. We don't know.
I think people have overestimated what was happening there. I know a lot of people think that some form of placeholder is coming back, and that is not my understanding.
No, some replacement, right?
Some replacement for it, but it's not going to be something very much like placeholder.
Right. So they say right now, if you have Selective Sync, that gets you some of what you have with placeholders, which is true. But if you're looking for the exact same thing as placeholders, they're not commenting on when that's coming. I asked when I talked to the team, and they said, we're working with the Windows team on that, and that's all we could get them to say.
Yep.
That's it. Yep. So, yeah.
I think that's related to the integrated OneDrive client in 8.1 that did have placeholders, and that's what's screwing up the new, whatever they're calling, next generation client.
Right. But we should revisit what happened Friday, too, right?
Sure. Why not? Is everyone wearing black?
What happened Friday? Yeah, well, this was the kind of... Okay, now some wrote this as a capitulation on the part of Microsoft. Is that?
Oh no, no,
is
they
that
really
fair?
Did.
Yep.
No. No, 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 no.
So what happened?
Well, obviously, maybe not obviously, but I think it was the beginning of November when they announced that they were not doing unlimited storage.
Right.
And at the time, that announcement was rushed because it was a major publication that had come up with the story and they were going to publish. They informed Microsoft because they were looking for a comment. And so Microsoft kind of rushed out this announcement, and obviously people weren't very happy with it. I think it's fair to say that no one was going to be happy with unlimited storage being taken away, but there are people who paid extra for additional storage. There are people who took advantage of Microsoft promotional offers for additional storage, and I think they kind of bungled the communication on that. And so what they've done is apologize for that. If you are someone who has... join OneDrive at a time when you can get 15 gigs of free storage. If you are someone who has gotten 15 gigs of free storage for the camera roll promotion, they're going to allow you to go to a web page, sign up, and you'll be able to keep that forever, in perpetuity or whatever the term is. I think it's a nice step back in that direction. They're not bringing back unlimited storage. They're not adding additional storage tiers, you know, for people to be able to buy. And I think if you kind of put this in the context of today's announcement around OneDrive for Business, what you see is that the customers who are paying Microsoft the most, which are the enterprise customers, can get that additional storage because Microsoft are deriving a value out of that, whereas they really can't service general consumers with tons and tons of storage.
Yep.
At basically any price.
Yeah. Fair enough. So not capitulation, but
no, I don't
clarification.
Think so.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
they gave back a little of it, right?
I'm going to correct, I think a well done correction. You know, a lot of people were really burned by this. You said I could get 15 gigs of storage, right. I use it for my camera roll. I might have an iPhone, I might have an Android phone, a Windows phone, it doesn't matter. So I believed you, and I bought into this, and not literally with money, but I agreed to your scheme here, and now you've taken it away after the fact. And so I think. Yeah. Making those people whole is the right thing to do.
It could literally be with money. I mean, if that was part of your buying decision on Office 365, for instance.
Right.
That's a feature that I was promised, and you took it away without giving me any, you know, refund. Yeah. So.
Well, so actually, I should say, for Office 365 customers, nothing is really changing. This is for people who were using more than 7 gigs of free storage or for people who took advantage of their camera roll promotion,
right.
Where just by connecting OneDrive to their camera roll for backup purposes, they got an additional storage. And so those people will be able to keep that storage now.
Right.
So previously they were going to take that away.
Right. So it is a capitulation. Come on.
I think you could look at it a couple different ways. You could say they listen to customers. That's the way they want us to look at it, right?
Yes, they listen to customers and then capitulated.
Sure.
Well, I think if you read today's OneDrive for Business post, you see them being very cautious in the wording. actually apologizing again and saying, you know, we also know that we promised all of you guys unlimited storage too in the business world, and we're not delivering it.
Right.
And so this one felt like the way that other post should have been written when it came out.
Absolutely. And given more time, obviously, right. You do something right second time around or whatever. I actually said to this guy, I talked to one of the guys from OneDrive, and I said, listen, you're done apologizing, right? I mean, at some point, we just kind of have to move on. I mean, I think we're all upset about it. We get it. But, and he said, I think we've kind of done the rounds here.
Yeah. Good. All right.
Yeah. Although there was one more apology.
What's that?
The Surface apology was this week also, right? So Microsoft was apologizing for Surface Book and Surface Pro 4, not everything going as smoothly as one might want or expect. So they did publicly apologize for that. Although, what you're still not going to get is some of the things some of the fixes that you want this year. So, again, apology, but not necessarily payback.
It wasn't a very public apology either, was it?
No, because I own one of those, and I didn't know that they apologized.
Yeah. Well, where was it?
Right. I don't feel like they needed to apologize. I'm very happy with my Surface Book.
They should have just injected the apology onto your system. I hear they're doing
just
that with
like Windows everything else. Little pop-up. Would you like to upgrade to the Microsoft apology?
We're sorry. Accept or do not accept.
Yeah, I accept your apology.
Actually, there'd be one button. I accept your apology.
Yeah. Paul, is that your daily driver now? Is Surface Pro 4 or a Surface Book?
No, I mean, I use a desktop PC at home. The reliability issues with Surface Book have caused me to not use it docked because I can't really trust it, leave it. You know, if you think about the system closed, connected to a dock, left alone overnight or like a day like
heat
today.
Heat up thing. Yeah, you have to pack.
I just can't.
And the Hibernate fix did not work for you? I thought it did.
I'd already moved on by the time they had done this. No, I'm going to keep it around. I intend to travel with it further. I'm actually on a different laptop today because I'm evaluating this laptop. But I love Surface Book. I mean, whenever they do release this fix for the power management issue, absolutely, I'm going to give it a try again. But
for those not watching video, Mary Jo, looks like you're on your Asus S7 still. Paul's on an unnamed Hewlett Packard laptop. I don't know if you can talk about it not yet.
But you can't see over there.
I see the Surface Book over to your left,
So we still have a Surface Book.
Yeah. Is that your Surface Book? Or
We also both have Lumia 950s.
Oh.
How did you get a black case, by the way?
This is a loaner from the store.
Oh, can I
for today only. Why not the XL? Is that too big? Is that too big for both of you? I know, Mary Jo, you like a bigger
I love the big phone. Yeah. As I'll say a million times, if this was on Verizon, I would have gotten that phone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an Envy you've got in front of you, Paul, or should I just Envy it?
It is an HP Envy notebook. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and the reason I'm using my Asus today is it's just much lighter than the Surface Book.
Yeah.
It's
right.
An Ultrabook. It's really light and easy to carry.
I love the S7. You know, I gave it to my father-in-law because he needed a Windows machine. I think he really likes it too, but we've never seen, and this is actually kind of exciting for me, the stickers on the far side of your laptop, Mary Jo. It looks like you've got a dinosaur there.
Yeah, I've got them all. Can
gorilla.
People see that?
Mary Jo, I noticed you don't have a T Therat logo on your on your laptop.
Yeah,
I also don't have a cup still or a mug.
I have a cup. Hey, what's in the upper left-hand corner over there? The words on your what is that?
Drink great beer.
Drink
real beer.
I should have known. All right, just had to ask.
Yep.
Very nice. This is fun. I love seeing Manhattan behind you. I only wish it were snowing.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I wish too, Lynn.
Yeah, I bet.
I wish it was snowing.
Uh-huh. Kind of cool. Yeah. Maybe it'll be, it'll be like a Bing Crosby and White Christmas. Like, it's one of those, it's not snowing and it should be snowing. And in the middle of the show, you can open up the barn doors in the back of the store and it'll be snowing out back.
Yeah.
Can you get Bill to arrange that?
Work on that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the third floor is for. They drop the snow.
They store the snow.
Yeah.
All right. We got the apologies out of the way.
Yeah, that's out of the way.
We can move on. 'Tis the season. It says right here. So I'm reading it for Universal Apps.
Yeah, finally. Finally, we're starting to see some Universal Apps show up that we've been hearing were in the works and never really believed would show up. At least I didn't.
So how universal
so
are these? The idea was if you use XAML, you can make an app that runs on Windows 10 on the computer, Windows 10 mobile, and Xbox One, right? Those are the three.
Also IoT.
IoT.
Surface Hub. You know, there's all kinds of places for these apps to go, eventually.
And how universal are these? This first batch of universal apps? Are they, in fact,
They're semi-universal. it depends on the app. You know, Pandora, for example, is available on Windows 10 and on for PCs and tablets, but also on
phones.
That's
great.
Yeah. And actually, by the way, you might know this. I mean, I'm not sure what the situation is on a Mac, but until yesterday, they had the same kind of lousy Adobe Air-based app for Windows for years and years and years. And so this is, I believe, the first native Pandora client.
Good. Yeah, getting the Air out is nice.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Getting the Air.
Getting the Air out.
I'm not as sure. You know, Netflix, for example, hasn't actually shipped yet, but in that case, the PC tablet version is coming first this week, probably, and then the version for phone is coming eventually. But there's already, you know, that's an example of one where we already have apps, right? So we had modern and or probably Silverlight apps or whatever for Windows Phone.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, there were other ones too, though. 1-800-Flowers was this week, TripAdvisor. So it's finally starting to happen, which is great. Because we kept hearing, they're getting everybody lined up. They're going to do this. It's happening. And we just haven't seen it. And so finally, it's starting to happen. So that is good news. I'm glad to see it.
It's getting to look a lot like Christmas. What else? I'll be honest. I mean, as much as I'm as excited as I am about the 1-800-Flowers app.
Yep. Dollar.
I know.
It's not going to, you know, change my world. Especially since you could use the web to do all of the same things. But Pandora's good. I'd love to see things like Facebook, Instagram. You know, some of those key... You get where I'm going here. These are key phone apps.
Yes. I just like theoretically, the notion of an app that can tailor itself to different screen sizes and different form factors is cool. And you can see the reality of it in some of the apps that are built into Windows 10, Windows 10 Mobile.
Right.
And now that you see third parties doing it, it's just interesting to see that this kind of works. And it reminds me of the auto layout stuff they used to talk about back in the Avalon/Longhorn days when, you know, they would stretch windows out and they would say, look how it reflows. And it's sort of like the vision that they had from over 10 years ago, I think, finally coming to life. And, of course, now with phones, which we didn't have back in 2003, it even makes more sense.
Good. I don't know. What other questions do people have about these universal apps? The UI is consistent across all platforms. How does it look?
Yeah.
Have we seen anything on Xbox?
No. So the Xbox support for universal apps is coming sometime in 2016.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, it's not there yet.
Okay.
But that's the thing. I think that the investment that you make here, if you think about a full screen, you know, Windows PC app, that's Xbox pretty much. I mean, obviously you have to accommodate different styles of input like the controller and all that kind of stuff. But as far as the, you know, the form of this, you know, the size of this display and all that kind of stuff, it's all pretty much there. And you can, you know, it's really, once you've done this work, you've got phone and PC tablet. I mean, going to Xbox One is going to be easy.
Which is awesome. How does that work? Do you develop it and then have different resources in the bundle for different systems, or
Leo? I'm not a developer, but I play one on TV.
Oh man, I used to know how this works.
I would imagine what it is a solution with different projects, each of which targets. But I actually don't know that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, is there a single? Yeah. One way to do it would be have a single bundle that has in it.
Let's ask the audience, Leo. Is there a developer in the audience?
We probably have a developer.
Any developers? So Visual Studio, right, supports solutions with projects. If you develop a universal app, are each of the targets different projects, or is that one project? One project.
And all of the assets in the there's assets in the project for each platform.
Okay. Why don't you come over here? No? Okay. Give them, he doesn't want to get on camera.
Yeah,
he's kind. Coming. Yeah. Come here. He's
ladies, Leo, ladies and gentlemen, telly. Mr. Bill Gates. Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. How does it work?
Yeah, explain, we're asking just, how it works.
And can you get a little shorter while you're at it?
You just said baseball.
Okay, cool. I'm going to sit here. No, so, I mean, the code behind and all, you know, code is basically the same. It's just the actual layout that you change for each device. I've worked on some, they're called, what is it, UWP, Universal Window Platform apps. And, yeah, just basically how the screen stretches out is, and it's all the same code behind, which,
it's
yeah.
Literally, the, so when you publish the app, you are basically, you're sort of checking boxes. I want these platforms to come out at the end.
Exactly. And it kind of, some of the UI components, like, you can disable for certain sizes. So there's like one, like the iPad is the most, the split view where you have, you know, your email on your left. And when you tap one of them, it comes up on the right. And you just basically say, okay, when I have a smaller, you know, screen resolution, I want you to tap the email and go full screen with the text. Or if we're on a tablet, I want you to actually just put in this right panel then.
Oh, that's right. Great.
Nice.
That's it. So cool. it's fairly easy to do, it sounds like.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I know,
nice.
Are
nice.
There any other experts who could replace us?
Right. I know. It's funny because we wrote so much about Universal Windows Platform apps. It felt like years ago, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, we're so rusty now. I'm like, wait, how does that work again?
Right.
AppX packages. Remember that?
Yeah, well,
that.
Of course. I mean, yeah. But, you know, right. back in, I guess, pre-Windows 10 days, they started working toward this. And back then, I think it was the solution with separate projects. You would target phone and Windows separately. But now what he's saying is in Windows 10 with Universal Apps, it's a lot more sophisticated. And I think that's a big deal for the platform because that means it's all the more easy for developers to target the different platforms.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I have a little bit of an interest in this because, of course, I would love to have a Twit app that is fully universal.
Right.
It plays on every platform. And as I understand, Dmitry Lialin, who did the great Windows Phone app, is working on it.
Yep.
So that's good news.
Yep.
TripAdvisor, Wall Street Journal, Netflix, 1-800-Flowers, Uber.
Yep.
That's interesting because you really wouldn't. Well, I guess, you know what? I'm thinking you're sitting in your office. You would use
the
desktop
though,
to call the Uber, and then you'd go downstairs. You got your phone.
It's
actually,
almost
sense.
It's because it's a gimme. It almost doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so easy once you've
that
made
this. That
was
my real question: is how difficult it is to make it more, you know, run on all the platforms?
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's pretty straightforward. That's really great. That's really great.
Yep.
And that, of course, is why Microsoft's pushing so hard to get Windows 10 on as many desktops as possible.
Right.
To build that user base, so that there is some incentive to, well, if you're writing for this. You know, you're going to write for this, and now maybe we can talk you into writing for Xbox and Windows Phone mobile.
Yeah, especially Windows Phone. That's their way of doing that.
Yeah.
They're thinking, if you write a desktop app, it should be a no-brainer for you to just bring it to the phone if it's really as easy as they say.
And actually, that's going to be the interesting bit, right? Because I think for a lot of these things, I don't know that every one of these was on phone. I think that most of them were. It, you know, the fact that you can get PC for free is great, but you kind of want to see it in the other direction as well. You know, maybe someone has a desktop app and they want
to
bring it down to phone.
Right.
Yep.
So, somebody in the chat room, Drew in the chat room says Garmin has a nav app that's universal
it's
as
also,
well.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's hard to keep track, Leo. It's coming fast
that's
and furious.
Thing.
I'm glad. And how do you do it? You go to us. You search the App Store for Universal apps. How do you know they're universal? Where do you find?
No, Microsoft. So far, Microsoft's been announcing.
They just
in each
highlight
case
it.
That,
Let's take,
I don't know that from the user. I'm sorry to interrupt. Just from a user standpoint, if it's even obvious,
no.
Or if it's even
and it wouldn't matter, right? You wouldn't. You just you know you're on the phone. You're going to see what's available for the phone.
I mean, if you've been using Netflix, the app on your Windows computer for the past 2 years, and Netflix gets an update this week. And, you know, the UI is a little different. The fact that it's a Windows Universal app doesn't necessarily help you, but it gets Cortana support. It gets a new UI, not that that's a Universal app feature, but it's just the UX benefits or whatever, the usability benefits.
Cool.
Yeah.
Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, it's not too late to run to Fifth Avenue and see them at the Microsoft store. Just head up to the third floor.
We're going to head over and assault the Apple store afterwards, too. So
join the mounted
as a group.
Assault.
Right.
Are you really? Are you going to go? I'll go over there? I am so kind of thrilled to hear that they were actual Microsoft employees in that.
Yeah.
That's really neat. I think that's really cool. Good. Yeah. All right, more to come, including a little again, Paul. I'm hinting here. Look at Redstone. A little look at Paul.
I can see it from where I'm sitting, Leo.
I'm not talking Redstone. The rocket. I'm talking a new version of Windows, which has just
blasted off
from the Windows Insiders. But first, and I'll give you guys a little bit of a break. I'll turn off your mics, so if you want to wander around, you can. It's time for Lynda.com, our great sponsor. We love Lynda because Lynda kind of matches our goal, or my goal with TWiT, which is to help tech enthusiasts learn how to use new technologies so they're better at their job, they're having more fun in their hobby. And Lynda.com is really a great partner for us because that's exactly what they're all about. They're for the problem solvers in the world, the curious, the people who want to make things happen at work and at home. Maybe, my hobby is photography, master Photoshop, composition. Maybe you're at the office. You need to be the Excel master. They've got great office courses. And all of these courses, by the way, are video courses, professionally shot. This is not your grandpa's YouTube video here. This is great stuff. Trainers are professionals in the industry, often great teachers and people working in the field. Look at all the IT stuff. Excel, Linux, PowerShell, SharePoint, SQL Server, Tableau, Windows Server. There's also business stuff. Like, here's a whole marketing section. How to use Google Analytics. How to use Google AdWords. Google Plus, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, SEO. Photography. Oh, man, if you're a photographer, you'll love it. And you know what's also great? It's great for developers. See, I'm really, oddly enough, that's kind of my hobby. But if you're interested in programming, creating an app, developing for the web, they've got great courses. Here's one I really should take because our new website is written in Node. Node.js Essential Training. Visual Studio 2015 Essentials. Learn how to write XAML. Microsoft SQL Server 2014 Databases. Demystifying Windows 10. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Demystifying Windows 10 Universal Apps and Cross-Platform Development. It's in there. You know, sometimes I feel like Lynda's clairvoyant because they will have courses the minute you want them. Like we were just talking about this. Lynda, LYNDA.com. Hadoop fundamentals, my friends, just for Mary Jo Foley. And everything about the Lynda courses are fantastic. Because the trainers are good, but they also give you all the coursework with them. They have complete transcripts. You can read along as you listen, but you can also search the transcript and find the part you're looking for. It's just really neat. Learn at your own pace. If you're a complete person, you can start to finish. If you're a dip intoer, a double dipper, you can just look at different parts. You can even download tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on Android or iOS devices. Lynda.com. Here's what we're going to do. The way it works is you get a subscription, and you have access to everything on Lynda.com. It's one low monthly fee, but we're going to give you 10 days free right now. So go to Lynda, LYNDA.com/windows, and you could take a whole course in 10 days, or you could just look and see all the different things. One low flat rate, but it's free right now for the first 10 days. Lynda, LYNDA.com. /windows. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. And there's a look at Flight Club. Oh, wow. Drones and the dawn of personal aerial imaging. Oh, wow. Talk about timely. Awesome. And then you get your certificate of completion. You can post on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. This is awesome. Awesome. Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott, they are at the Microsoft store in the beautiful flagship store in Manhattan, New York City on Fifth Avenue, and sharing the holiday spirit. How many people are there? Is it a good group?
Like two or three.
Everybody say hi right now.
It's a bunch of Microsoft employees.
Hey! Yeah, there you go. That sounds like a mob.
Yeah, there's more than two or three.
That's nice.
When does a crowd become a mob? What's the line?
When they start stoning you. Right. So, who came from the farthest?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, who came from the farthest? Who came from Washington?
I did, obviously.
North Korea.
Who came from Washington, D.C.? Is that Washington, D.C.?
Nice.
Canada.
Canada.
Took Excella.
I know. We got a couple of Pennsylvania.
That's great. That's nice. That's wonderful.
Yep.
Who had the most difficult time getting here, would you say?
Paul Thurrott, ladies and gentlemen. He was made.
Yeah, he called me when he was in New Rochelle, and he's like, I'm somewhere called New Rochelle. I have no idea how far I am right now from New York.
I went through, you're
in the right state anyway.
So I was like a child on the train. We pulled into Pelham Station, and I was like, I know this place.
Taking a Pelham 123, right?
Yeah.
Where's Walter Matthau? I love him.
I know.
Or Channing Tatum or whoever was in the new one. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a great movie, by the way. Not the new one, the original with Walter Matthau.
Right.
Awesome movie.
Yeah.
All right. Have you had time, Paul, to look at Redstone?
No, I have not.
They released it while you were on the train.
There's a story on my site that says it's out. It must be true.
But if they said, is Paul in New Rochelle yet? Yeah, okay, he's in New Rochelle. Release the hounds!
Exactly. Exactly.
So what do we know?
Yeah, we can talk a little about it.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. What do we know about it? Anything?
So we know the build number is 11082.
How do we know it's a Redstone build? First of all.
Yeah. I think anything that was post RTM is considered Redstone. Oh.
No.
Yeah.
Now remember, the older builds had a TH underscore in them. This one had threshold releases,
right?
Right.
Yeah, so Redstone's not threshold. This is the replacement for threshold. Okay.
Post threshold.
Right. So
I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure. But I would imagine somewhere there's an RS build or RS string in the character.
Chat room, let us know.
Yes, there is. Sorry, there is RS one release. Yes,
RS1.
So it is Redstone.
Okay.
Yep.
RS one.
Yep. And so, what do we know about it? Not much. It's Gabe All posted that there aren't any noticeable changes or new features just yet. It's mostly cumulative updates to then testing at this point.
Okay.
As well as some improvements to One Core, the thing called One Core, which is the common kernel that goes across all the different flavors of Windows 10. So that it's just kind of like the beginning of the Redstone rollout. This isn't the build that has the new Edge extensions in it yet. That's coming probably next year, it looks like. But
yep.
I've seen a couple people tweet that this is the last insider build for calendar 2015. So there you have it.
Let me tell you one thing I take exception to here. Gabe All has said for approximately the 17th time that they're going to speed the cadence of insider builds. And every blog on earth, including my own apparently, which is a little disappointing, has reported that Microsoft will speed up the release cadence of Windows 10 to insiders. And Microsoft says they're going to. I mean, they've said this a lot, and I'm a little surprised people aren't calling them on that.
Well, Gabe's post today says prepare for fastering builds. So he puts it out there that this is going to happen.
But he's done that before.
I know, he has.
Yes. I mean, this is at least the third time he said that publicly.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we'll see.
I want to congratulate Brad Sams on his Photoshop foo. He's kind of trying to keep up with you, I think, Paul.
Actually, that's my Photoshop.
Oh, I knew it. I had to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex with a neon cat on its back coming through the... Am I the only one who really feels like that Windows logo looks like I'm in the basement? That's the basement window.
Yep.
Is it just me? Every time I start up, I think, oh.
Yeah, the alien spacecraft has come for the disaffected teenager in the basement.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So you don't... Are you saying that you've lost control of your website, Paul?
I have lots of control of my website. But I think the way to think of it is it's not my website, right?
It's you have a team.
I have a team that needs to be heavily berated when I get home. But
no,
a team.
No.
No, it's weird, right? I mean, my name's on it. It's a little strange. It's something I have to get used to.
Okay, can I ask a sensitive question?
Yeah.
Does Edge have extensions in Redstone?
It will.
No, it will. It will.
What?
That will be the release. That will, yeah.
I have to say, I want to use Edge. I like Edge a lot.
Leo, that wasn't a sensitive question. I thought you were going to say, can you really stand Brad Sims?
No, I wouldn't ask you that. I might ask you, when are they going to release Windows Media Center for Windows 10? But I would like to use Edge, because every time I use Chrome, I feel like, yeah, this is a second-class citizen under Windows 10. Edge really seems faster, smoother.
I love
better.
Edge.
I like Edge, but without extensions, I can't do LastPass.
Yep. I know. Yeah. Every time I use it, I think, oh, man, I really love the way it renders text in particular.
It's beautiful.
It seems to size correctly all the time, regardless of the screen size or pixel density. Really nicely done. And it just doesn't have extensions. Yeah.
But they're testing them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we will be soon.
It will be. Yeah. Right. So our friend The Walking Cat on Twitter, if you guys don't follow this person, you should. H0X0D on Twitter. This guy is like the best micro sleuth bar none. We don't even know who he is. We just know he's a guy.
You think he's a Microsoft employee?
I don't think he is.
No, I don't think so either.
No. But he found this site that Microsoft hid after he found it, but it was the preview site for extensions and has Reddit and Pinterest as the first extensions that Microsoft will be testing. He published it. He started downloading some of the samples, and then Microsoft quickly saw what he was doing and closed it.
Wow.
But he found out a lot of things. And one of the things he found out is these extensions are almost identical to Chrome extensions.
Well, we knew that, but he
verified it with the code. Yeah. He also found, I think he was the one to find this, that AdBlock Plus for Edge is coming soon.
Ooh. You know, it's funny. I had the AdBlock Plus guys on the other day, and I should ask them that when, you know.
Yep.
But that's good news. All right.
Yep. AdBlock Plus and LastPass also has a
That's
site
all I care
up
about.
Right now.
If I get those two, I'm happy.
I know. Done.
I will never use Chrome
originally
again.
The plan was for Microsoft to get a preview out with these extensions this calendar year, but it's not happening, obviously, since this build came out today and it's not there. So I guess early 2016 will be when we get the first Redstone preview that has Edge extension preview as part of it. But that's good. It's close. It's close enough to have a preview site that was there and now disappeared.
So. Yep. You know, he's doing a good job. They had to pull it down.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Walking Cat.
I know, The Walking Cat. I'm really curious who that guy is.
We got to get him on the show as kind of like a silhouette.
Oh, that would be good. That'd be good.
It's interesting because I mean, like, he in this tweet that you're referring to, he actually is putting up a link to Mega, the pirate file site. So. He also has his most recent tweet is a retweet of a guy named Roman who said who did a diff on the 1182 and 1184, and they're identical. So I don't know what that means, but.
He knows a lot, the cat that walks in the night.
The cat that walks. He's a hacksaw, I would say.
Oh.
He's a hacksaw.
Yeah.
And by the way, just a word of warning, the last time we did a show from a store, we did it from the Apple store.
Yep.
And some script kitty in the audience decided to steal the Wi-Fi and make sure everything, every link referred to back to Goatsy. So just a word of warning.
Yikes.
We're a little classier on the Microsoft side.
We caught him, though. The funny thing is, he was sitting like in the fourth row going, and it was like really obvious who it was.
Yeah, you were like, yep, that guy.
Yeah, can you take him out of here, please? Thank you.
This time it'll be one of the hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Alik, let's see, we got that. Oh, Microsoft pulled then fixed. What happened here, the cumulative update? Was there a problem with that?
There was. So Windows 10 Mobile. Windows 10 Mobile. When Microsoft released the first cumulative update for that, which was 105.86.29. Wow, I can't believe I just remembered that.
Very nice.
They had a problem with it installing on some 950s and 950. 850 XL phones. This we're talking about the general availability release, not the insider preview. And so they ended up temporarily pulling the build off the servers and then fixing it, and now they're in the midst of putting it back. So if you did not download that build, you can fairly soon, if not now.
I think it's out now. I think it is.
Set up now? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think this impacted more than about 11 people, but...
Well, 11 angry people, yeah, I heard from all
of
them.
Of course,
yeah. Sure.
All right, so we're going to turn the camera around, not your cameras, but the other camera around, to point at the people in the audience, because this is their opportunity, their chance for fame and fortune.
Yeah, we're going to let the audience ask some questions live.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, there are people there. I thought that was a soundtrack. Hello, everybody. Good looking bunch. Do you want to get some questions from anybody?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay, thanks for joining us. See y'all later.
Excuse me. You got this?
Yeah. Anything is fairly fair game.
Anything is fair game. What are we doing? What's that? Oh, we got to do it over there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to come over next to me.
If you've got nothing nice to say, come sit next to
Paul. We're trying to figure out the logistics.
It's on your lap. Like Santa.
Yeah, for Christmas. Right. I'm not granting any gifts today.
Who has a question? Raise your hand.
Come on, guys. Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Here's your chance for fame and fortune.
Come on over. We got one here, too. Oh, we're going to start here. You're second.
Okay, really tall guy. Speak.
I know. I can't exist
there. We can't get your head in the shot.
So my question is, with the rumored Surface phone, assuming that it's true, do you think Microsoft would go forward with that if there's any chance they won't support it? Because it seems like the 950 is not getting a big promotional push. Meaning, do you think they'd get more skin in the game if they had a Surface phone that they were selling as opposed to the Lumia line?
Good question.
I just want to make sure I heard the whole thing. You said with the rumored Surface phone launch, do we think they will go ahead with it? Because
I was just saying, do you think that they would put a Surface phone out there without giving 100% support to it? Because it seems like the Lumia support right now is kind of lukewarm. Yep. So I didn't know if it would be a good sign if that's developed.
What I can tell you, we know they're working on one, right? That doesn't mean it comes out, but they are working on one. People sort of said, you know, Surface phone's not going to solve the central problem with Windows Phone, which is the apps, right? As nice as that phone could be, that doesn't solve that problem. And on the Surface tablet side, obviously, they can fall back on the Windows desktop ecosystem. They've got that going for them. So a lot of people have theorized, myself included, and it really is just a, you know, I had a dream kind of thing, that if the Surface phone was Intel-based, they could have that same fallback. And in a continuum situation, run desktop apps off of the phone. It's just a theory. It's not based on anything anyone has told me. So that's my kind of take on it.
I'd also say if you look at the Lumia phones that are out from Microsoft right now, these are phones that were largely in the pipeline before Panos Panay took over the Surface phone line. So, you know, they had to come out with something this year for the fans to kind of hold them over. But I think now that Panos Panay owns the phone line, I feel like you're going to feel more commitment from him and his team and the Windows team to phones and making phones successful than maybe you felt while the Nokia thing was kind of shaking out. That's my two cents. We have a question from this guy over here.
This guy.
That guy.
Let's get that.
Who, by the way, is rocking an early model Surface Pro.
Quick two-part. Just do you think you'll have more live events here in the future?
Yes.
And would Leo attend?
No.
What? No?
No, I want to. I would love to. I begged to go out, but, you know, we have – it's hard because we have other shows besides just Windows Week. I would love to go out.
The question is actually whether I would appear at another show.
Oh, you. Would you go? Will you ever go back? Yeah.
I need a couple of months after this train ride.
I'd love to go out there and do that.
I can't wait to see what Amtrak has cooked for me this evening. You know, maybe a bus ride followed by a yak.
I'm sure if the Microsoft Store allows you guys back, that you will do this again.
Yeah, I'd love to do more. I mean, honestly, it'd be fun. And it would be fun to do these in different places as well.
I agree. And by the way, you know, thanks again to Andrew Zarian and his team for doing all the technical stuff. Because, you know, we didn't have to send any equipment out or anything. They just set it all up.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Yeah, it's very nice of you guys.
Yeah, I think we have a good chance of coming back here. They want to make this a community space. That's a big vision of this store.
Yeah.
So I think if we all behave and no one gets too crazy, we might get invited back.
A little bit more Minecraft coding expertise, perhaps.
As soon as, you know, the other show on this day, on Wednesdays, is This Week in Google, and they're building, Jeff Jarvis and CUNY are building a studio on Times Square for us. So as soon as that's done,
dash across New York kind of thing.
Yeah, as soon as that's done, I could fly out on a Tuesday night. Do this show and do This Week in Google. How close are you to Times Square? Not far.
Very close.
Very close. Yeah. But we're also close to, because I know, because I walked it, is
the Amtrak station. Oh, the Yale Club is right there.
Because I had to switch trains, and the other train took me into Grand Central Station, which is right next to the Yale Club.
And I do love a train station. Maybe I'll take the train out.
Yeah.
The California Zephyr.
Yes, right, with the glass top.
With the glass top, the observation roof. No, I would like, you know, I will, let's put it this way. The next one, I will be there. I will make sure that I'm there, because it looks like too much fun. And I love New York. I love going to New York, so.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
I usually do, too.
Yeah. Today was a rough one.
Yeah, well, travel's always, you know, especially this time of year, travel's always
hard. I've been very lucky, apparently. I just,
Hey, let's do one in Sydney.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's do one in Sydney.
That'd be great.
More questions from the audience?
Does anybody else have any questions? Yes?
Here's one. Come on.
Well, you have to come to us, unfortunately.
Good evening. Happy holidays, everybody.
Okay, you too.
Thanks, you too.
My question is regarding the updates to the phone. Last week, you spoke about Microsoft pushing it out to everybody at the same time. Did you get any more information whether or not that is something they could do? Like,
and no, I guess, would be the answer. Have you heard anything official in it?
No. So we were talking last week about how it seemed like that update, 105.86.29, actually went straight to users without anybody intervening. Like, it felt like it circumvented AT&T, basically, right?
So that question was asked way too politely. So I'm gonna rephrase it the way I would have asked it. Have you guys done your job since last week and actually asked Microsoft whether this is something they can do all the time? And the answer to that question is no.
No, we asked.
We asked. Well, but we haven't followed up with that. That's an excellent question. I'd like to find out the answer to that.
It is. And the other part I would love to find an answer to is, I don't know if you remember, last week I brought up that there was somebody who told me Telstra in Australia was mad that Microsoft did that or was going to do that. And I would love to find out if there are other carriers who are kind of leery of Microsoft going around them and pushing the update. Like we said, Apple does this, right? Or at least there's a small window of time that the testing is done with Apple. But Microsoft hasn't done it that way. And, you know, carriers, I'm sure, are used to not having Microsoft do that. So now that they're trying to change and do things that are right for the customer, I'm sure the carriers are not loving that, right?
Why would they love that?
Why would they? Yeah, so we don't know the answer to that because the carriers are very close-mouthed about that. But if anybody here works for a carrier, let us know.
And are thus evil incarnate. We would like to hear from you.
That's part of the challenge for Microsoft, of course, is that they don't fully control everything, and people blame them.
Yeah.
But
by the way, that's true in a lot of different areas when you think about it, right? Windows PCs, not fully in control of, and sure.
Yeah.
It's the job.
Anybody else have a too polite question? Yes, come on. That's an awesome shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I was just wondering if Redstone will include phone, like a telephone call pass through into Windows 10 desktop.
I haven't heard that specifically, but I think obviously they're doing this, right? The phone app is on Windows desktop now. There is some integration in Cortana between phone, text, and actual phones. I think that's how it goes. I think it's funny. If you look at how they add stuff to Windows 10 these days, a lot of times it's if you see it in Cortana, that means it's going to get out to the apps. I think there's no way they can't. They're not going to have this in Redstone. They have to.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, they have this natural integration between Windows 10 mobile on phones and Windows 10 PCs. I just can't believe they're not doing this. I don't know this for a fact, but when you look at the steps they've already taken, it's just not possible they're not heading in that direction. In fact, it might not even be part of Redstone. It might be something that they just deliver, you know, through the apps. I think they have to.
I mean, it seems like one of those things they have to, but I also thought they would have NFC payment stuff too, and we haven't heard any rumors about that being in Redstone either. So we don't really know. Like, it's funny, when we first heard rumors about Redstone, the way I heard them from my contacts was this is not going to have a lot of new features in it, that it's going to be a fairly small update, even though there'll be Redstone 1 and Redstone 2, that it wouldn't be huge. We've heard rumors about some Cortana changes that'll be in it, but we haven't heard like any, and also Edge extensions, but we haven't heard a lot of other stuff so far.
Do you think it's fair to say that Redstone is probably the release of Windows 10 that aligns with Universal Apps on Xbox, or do you think those two things are unrelated?
Oh.
I'll just ask my own questions.
I would think so, right? Although I heard Universal Apps on Xbox, isn't that supposed to be early Q? Okay, so the rumored date of Redstone 1 is June 2016.
Right.
I don't think there's another Redstone before that. Yeah, that seems late.
I think we see Cortana first on Xbox One and then a Universal Apps later.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, same. Yep.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody?
I have a question.
Yes, Lee.
Okay.
Can you what hair product is Andrew Zarian using? Because he's really he's very sleek and it's quite beautiful. I'd like to try that.
Simpler question.
Listen, I hear it enough from Paul every week. Now I'm getting heckled by about 40 people.
There's
here.
Andrew. Hey, thank you, Andrew, for setting this up. This is great. Andrew Zarian, host of What the Tech with Paul Theriault.
Your hair does look good, though.
Doesn't it? Sleek, shiny, full of body.
You young bastard.
No, I have to say, yeah. thank God for Propecia.
No. Well, do you want to wrap it up,
I guess so. There are no more questions? I guess so.
All right.
They come out, but they're so shy.
They're shy.
Let's just walk around with the microphone and make them talk.
That's what you have to do. You have to do the Phil Donahue thing and just stick it in their face.
Yeah.
And say, hey,
what do you think?
What do you think? You know, this would be a good time to take a little break, give you guys a little a moment, and I will talk a little bit about our Ring video doorbell. And then the back of the book is next. Paul Theriault and Mary Jo Foley with their picks of the week. And yeah, there'll be beer. I hear there will be beer.
Yes, there will.
Yes, there will. But first, a word about the doorbell, the Ring video doorbell. What a great solution this is. We put one on our house. It's been months now, and it's so great. Here's the idea. You replace your regular wired doorbell, which is, incidentally, an easy thing to do. I'd done it before, you know, when it wore out. It's just two wires coming out of the door jamb, and then there's two screws holding the doorbell, and that goes to the ding-donger inside. It's a very simple thing. The Ring video doorbell goes in its place. So you remove the old doorbell. The Ring video doorbell will actually just, you know, it's completely compatible. And they have a variety of different finishes to match your door. And then you attach the doorbell to the plate, the base plate. It gives you everything you need. There's a drill bit. There's a screwdriver. There's a level. Everything you need. You don't have to have a wired doorbell, I should point out, because see the USB port on this? This will charge it up, too, with a big lithium-ion battery that'll last a year. So this is even a way to add a doorbell to somewhere that doesn't have a doorbell. And not just a doorbell. Yeah, sure, it'll ring your chimes. But it also has a... there's people with Ring video doorbells all over the world now going, oh, I think my doorbell... Oh, no, it's just me. It's just the ad. It's not your doorbell. There's a great wide-angle camera on this, a microphone, and a speaker. So when somebody rings your doorbell, you get a ring, and not just in the house. Yeah, and one of the reasons I got it is just because I wanted to be able to hear the doorbell. I miss it all the time. Now everything, our phones, our tablets, everything rings. So you don't just get it in the house, but you all, and which is awesome, you also get it when you're on the road because it is connected to your Wi-Fi. So your Ring video doorbell rings wherever you are. Now, that has a couple of great advantages. Around this time of year, it means you're not going to miss package deliveries. You can talk to the delivery guy and say, hey, leave it around the corner. You can keep an eye on those packages after they arrive. You can scare away bad guys who've come to ring your doorbell before they break in. The Ring video doorbell is a brilliant idea. I used it just the other day. This was actually kind of funny. The cleaning lady had been coming and leaving after like just like an hour, and the house wasn't getting clean. So we called the company and said, hey, they're supposed to be there longer. And he said, no, I see the log. They've been there. And I said, well, I got bad news for you. We've got a Ring video doorbell. I know exactly how long they come and how long they stay each and every time. And he backed down, and it's great. You know, if you've got teenagers, you know when they come in at night, you can show them the video. I can think of a lot more uses for it. You're going to love this. Here's the Ring video doorbell. Somebody's saying you have to pay monthly. You do not. It works all the time. But if you want it to record, which I recommend, there's a small monthly fee. I think I paid $30 for the year. And then you can look back in time. So you get recordings, not just of doorbell rings, but of motion. It's got a motion sensor so you can see what people are going by. And you set how sensitive it is and all of that. I really love the Ring video doorbell. Right now we've got free expedited FedEx shipping just in time for the holidays. This would be a great gift, especially for your, you know, if you have older parents, older family members. Really a really, really welcome gift. It just makes you feel a little bit better. It's kind of like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/WW. That's the website, and you'll get free expedited FedEx shipping. Ring.com. We're big fans of this, and we're not alone. You know, Richard Branson just led an investment round of $28 million into the company because he was on his island in the Caribbean, and one of his visitors answered the door on the island in New Jersey. The doorbell rang in New Jersey. He's in the Caribbean. He pulled out his phone. Branson said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm answering the doorbell. I got the Ring video doorbell. Branson said, I need to know more about that and invest in the company. So they're going to be around for a while. Time magazine named it one of the top 10 gadgets of last year. It is a great thing to have. More than a gadget, it is fantastic. Ring.com/WW for free expedited shipping from FedEx. I love it. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, they are in New York City in the Microsoft flagship store, broadcasting a very special edition of Windows Weekly. We're having a lot of fun, too. And I bet you're having fun.
Yeah, it's great. Fun to be in the store.
Yeah, and thanks to all the people who came out and said hi.
Yep. That's nice.
You're not afraid of assassination?
What?
No, just a little.
I don't want to say I embrace assassins.
Just a little joke.
Our backs are to the glass window.
You're safe. This is actually a nice bunch of people.
Actually, the weirdest part about this is because I'm looking down at... Usually, I'd be looking straight forward.
The monitor's
because I'm
down,
on a laptop.
Huh?
Yeah, it's weird. I'll just look at the screen over there.
Yeah. There's a big screen, too. Are you in the... Yeah. Wait a minute. You're not in the Surface Hub, are you?
No, we're in a bigger screen than that, Leo.
Wow, pretty sweet.
Take a picture. Show him.
Can we
take
see?
I'll just...
I can see. Look at that. Holy cannoli. Wow.
I moved my camera for nothing.
By the way, these look like all the same people who came to Radland Hum the last time I was out there.
They're actually all cardboard cutouts.
Yep.
Paul Thurrott.
Yes.
Picks of the week.
Okay. So, if you know, it's funny, in using Continuum over the past couple of weeks, I actually started to like it, which is a little strange because I was sort of not too excited about Continuum originally. But if you've ever used Miracast on Windows Phone 8 or Windows 8.1 or whatever, it works a certain way. It's just a kind of a dumb wire. I've always complained about Miracast being just a dumb wire. It's a sort of a less reliable wire kind of thing. But actually with Continuum, Miracast gets really interesting because you get that desktop display if you have a compatible phone. And that means you can run things, you know, screen while still doing things on your phone. And because Windows Phone, Windows 10 Mobile has a kind of a control pad you can use, you can actually control stuff on the big screen as if you were using a mouse with the touchscreen on the phone, which I think is actually kind of awesome. And so if you want to just do something like you're traveling, you go to a hotel room, you might be better off using a Continuum device rather than a strict Miracast device. Or you could just use the Miracast control like the Microsoft one. And you get this kind of nice new display. And I just find it much more convenient than regular Miracast. And so my tip, if you have Windows 10 Mobile and a compatible phone like a 950 or an XL, you can actually... And then I'm not going to go through the band stuff, but I have some band tips up on my site just around the new stuff this past week. In fact, that might have happened since our last show. I don't remember when the announcement was, but in the past week, Microsoft updated band 2 to support activity notifications. You've been sitting down for too long, get up. Nice. Oh. Something I've been complaining about for a year and a half.
That's what the Apple Watch does. Yeah.
Yes, right. And also music playback controls, which works with basically any media player on any phone. So if you have an iPhone, an Android device, or a Windows phone, you can control media playback from the band. So that's pretty cool, too. And then the software pick. The reason this is a big deal to me is that, to my knowledge, there's never actually been a native Windows desktop client for Pandora. And now we have one from Pandora, and also the phone client. And your video is cut out, I assume that's because my connection is terrible.
Yeah, something went wrong, so we cut out and send. But just look over your left shoulder, and you'll see what happened 30 seconds ago. So,
Nice, there it is. Yeah. God, my head is big.
Hey, you know, remember last year they gave away Groove Music, gave away all those albums? I guess they did a few albums again this year.
They did.
So they did ten 10-cent albums.
Yes, and that's going on for like
the
month.
They did 10 free ones.
But they gave away some free ones.
They did 10 free ones, right.
Yeah. So we
can tell I'm getting old because I was interested in literally none of that music.
Yeah.
But if you're a Selena Gomez fan or whatever, there was some free music as well.
There were.
I am not.
Was it?
Sorry.
Was the yeah.
I know.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
You know what I do is it's free, so I download it. So I, you know, then people see my playlist and they go, "You're hipper than we than
you
look."
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's free. Why not?
Oh, all over your playlist.
Be a good way to discover something.
I don't know. Sure.
Mary Jo Foley has her enterprise. Oh wait a minute. Do you want to do your software of the week, Paul?
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
No,
yet.
I did. I'm done.
Okay.
I did it. Pandora.
Yeah. Pandora.
Okay.
Mary Jo Foley with the enterprise pick.
The enterprise pick. This week is something I haven't talked about on Windows Weekly before, and this is for really big users. It's a product from Microsoft called Store Simple, STOR Simple. And what this thing is, it's a storage array. And the reason it's my pick this week is Microsoft made some announcements around Store Simple. They announced some new capabilities around virtual array that's basically meant to help people who are doing a lot of hybrid cloud storage systems, and especially for some of the smaller customers who might still want a big, giant storage appliance. And they also announced something called Store Simple 8000 Series Update 2, another name that just rolls right off the tongue. And that introduces some new capabilities around local volumes and a new version of their cloud appliance for higher performance. So Store Simple is not for everyone, but it is something that you might look into if you're somebody who cares about hybrid cloud and care about having a storage appliance on-prem. That's my pick for
and
enterprise.
Our codename pick of the week.
Codename pick of the week we've had before. It's Highlander. And if you remember what that is, it's the product that is now known as Microsoft Planner. So what Microsoft Planner is, it's a lightweight project management capability that Microsoft's making part of Office 365. It's kind of like project for like a much lighter weight Microsoft project type capability. The reason I made that the pick of the week this week is Microsoft is now rolling out the planner in preview form to people who are in the first release program for Office 365. By next year, Planner will be available to all of the Office 365 business customers. It's basically one of those next generation portals that you hear Microsoft talk about. So that's it. Highlander was the codename pick of the week.
Which is a little strange because, what, they kill the old Highlander and then the new Highlander? I don't...
know. Yeah. Well,
there can be only one.
If you watch the movies, Leo, they die several times. By the way, if you don't mind me throwing something in real quick.
Yes.
Sorry, I just want to say, I just found this out. Plex for Xbox One is now free.
Ooh.
So you don't actually need a Plex Pass requirement. This just happened.
Nice. That's a good question.
Kind of, that would cause me to look at Plex again.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry to interrupt.
Sorry.
That's okay, because it's time for beer.
Right. Beer pick of the week.
Leo, you have no idea.
All them waiting. Wow. See, the audience loves the beer pick.
Yeah.
I've lost control of this podcast, Leo.
Let's screw Windows. Let's do a beer podcast.
Yep.
I know. Yeah.
Now we know what they really want. Yeah.
Beer pick of the week. Okay. The reason I picked this beer, it's a twofold reason. One is because it has such an awesome name. The beer pick of the week is Evil Twins Christmas Eve in a New York City hotel room.
Oh, it sounds That's like Paul's visit to the Yacht Club.
And what that beer is it's an Imperial Stout, really strong. It's clocks in like 11.4 or around there, maybe even higher. It's brewed by one of the McKellar brothers, who are these famous Danish brewers who are gypsy brewers. And the Evil Twin, the guy who is known as the Evil Twin, brews in Brooklyn. So I made it a New York pick since we're having the show here in New York. I also made it the pick because they have it on tap at Rattle and Hum, and that's where we're all going right now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now I am jealous.
Yeah.
Oh.
But before...
Restore.
Yeah, follow me as we go down Fifth Avenue.
Oh, I had no idea, you guys. Oh, I'm jealous. It's about 4 o'clock in New York. Perfect time.
Yeah. Before we go, we have to say thanks to a few people. We've already thanked Andrew Zarian, and we should thank Chris Tobin as well for setting us up and doing all the back-end logistics.
Absolutely.
Also, Andy Lutsky from Microsoft PR, he made this happen. Without him, this would not have happened today. So,
thank you, Andy.
And let's not forget Bill Madden 2016. The best version yet of this particular manager.
Very nice. Hey, it was a lot of fun. What a great time to do this too at the end of the year, right before Christmas, the Microsoft store in Manhattan on Fifth Avenue, the flagship store. Paul Theriot, Mary Jo Foley. You'll find Paul at his much loved, sometimes reviled website, Theriot.com. Yeah, no, not reviled. Far from reviled. It's a great site. Theriott. Theriott.com. Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft at her ZDNet blog, allaboutmicrosoft.com. You'll find her there. And, of course, they're both on Twitter, at Theriott and at Mary Jo Foley.
Perhaps too much sometimes.
A little too much on the Twitter. No, you tweeted all the way. We knew exactly how you were doing and knew Rochelle and everything. Thank you guys, really a lot of fun. Thank you, Andrew, Tim. I don't know who Tim is, but thank you anyway.
No, everybody Chris, came too, the audience.
Thank you, the audience, great group, a lot of fun, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye bye, everybody.